So we'll start from stage right. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hey, I'm Mike from Powers.
Krista from Powers.
I'm Ben from the Knox.
I'm James from the Knox.
So let's see. We're going to get rid of some stuff. Let's get rid of, you got the name the Knox because you were like bad neighbors.
I party a lot. Not in a sense that I'm like always, but like I go out a lot. And I feel like as far as inspiration goes and music goes, that helps me because I find myself in lots of different situations listening to lots of different kinds of music and like seeing different music that I would never listen to go off in situations that I would normally be in because I just like happen to be ripping with random homies to like some weird party, you know? So when I get back to the studio, all of that kind of comes into play when I'm like sitting down to create an idea because I'm like, oh, like this rhythm was cool like in this situation, but what if it like fused with like the funk stuff that I really like, you know? So I don't know, party up.
What I like to do is kind of bring people together that wouldn't normally work together when it comes to music. Like I like to bring in, I'm the guy that like will make a track and I'll send it to somebody that's in some rock band that's never sang over an electronic track before and be like, check this out, I think it'd be cool if you did this. And sometimes they're like, no, I would never do anything like this. And sometimes they'll do it. And I think that's kind of a big role for me, is kind of the guy that brings people together and tries to make a sound that is different but still kind of hits those chords that kind of hits nostalgia element as well as, you know, accessibility. I also party, though. I don't get it twisted. I party, too.
The relationship between these and you folks goes back quite a ways, right?
Well, Mike really knew these guys in New York for a while. You guys worked together. I think I demoed something once for you guys, like 4 years ago or something.
It's probably been 7 years, and we're always trying to find some sort of avenue to work on together. You know, I think we probably demoed probably 8 different songs over the last 7 years, and we're always like, man, we're going to get one.
We know it. We're totally going to get one at some point. We're going to finish it.
When the opportunity came about, you know, it was perfect. They were in LA for a night and we kind of just got high in the studio together. I had a track and we kind of ping-ponged it for the next 4 months after, but yeah, classic came out of that.
But what is interesting to me about all of these people that you work with, and it's what you said, is that when you're working with that variety of artists, finding the commonality that allows you to take what you two like to do and bring it to them, right? Because they're looking for you. When you've got ex-ambassadors, I mean, you can't put St. Lucia next to ex-ambassadors and say that that's anywhere near the same point of view of how they're coming into it. But when you walk into all of these artists, what do you think the commonality is that they're looking for from you? And I think, I'm just going to kind of start it, that you're not doing remixes, that you're looking at the track and saying, how can we take them out of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, which is, I think it's also the biggest challenge, is like finding that balance where you both feel comfortable and making sure that it's still, like, I mean, in our case, that it's still can be a Knox song, you know, because sometimes you'll get in the studio or you're here, you want to work with some artists, you're like, oh, we want to work with St. Lucia, so let's like, it's hard not to be like, all right, so let's just use the same synths he uses on his stuff and like make it sound like an 80s song. And the St. Lucia thing, like when we did Modern Hearts, the track is something he would never have on his album, you know. It's like very much a dance, pretty heavy hitting record. And I think it's also just about the artist being open to like the same thing that you are, you know, so you can find a happy medium. But yeah, I think especially with the St. Lucia case is one of those things where he was just really open-minded and he, I think we're on the same page, and I think we all listen to a lot of the same music and we come from the same kind of circle of people and musicians that we're on the same page. But there have definitely been times where we've done songs with artists and it just doesn't work because they don't feel comfortable being on a song like that, which is a bummer sometimes, but you know, you move on.
The mix of what you do, which is actually DJing in clubs, right? Mm-hmm. And doing remixes, and now doing originals for the album. That's got to be a pretty interesting balance. Do you ever kind of walk in and say, oops, I'm supposed to be doing the other thing?
They kind of like all go hand in hand a little bit. Like doing remixes sort of was like practice, I guess, for when we wanted to start producing original stuff. Because yeah, I mean,
remixes tend to be a lot different.
Yeah, we try to approach remixes differently and like not do everything the same. And then like we take that same approach when we come to our own music too. It's like we try to not make, like, we're not trying to remake Dancing with the DJ. You know what I mean? Like we try to like classic is more different than anything we've ever put out.
I don't think that anybody sitting on this sofa that this track relates to anything that they've done before.
The riff. I've had that riff since I was a freshman in high school. Like just always like one of those things that you would pick up a guitar.
I mean, I guess it's one of those things where, you know, this is a good time for funky disco guitars, yeah. Coincidentally. Totally. Exactly. But no, that started, like I said, I've been carrying that for... Well,
that must hurt.
Yeah, totally.
That's a long time to carry something, Mike.
And it's definitely had many, many manifestations over the years. I could never write a hook over it and never get the right concept and the right idea. So when they were finishing up their record, they were like, yo, do you have any starter ideas to work on a single? And, you know, we just started Powers and all that kind of energy was flowing about in the studio. So I sent them the song and the connection was kind of immediate. I guess you guys were like, we have to work on this song.
It was just a guitar loop with a bass line. And the second we heard it, we were in the studio just like, what? And freaked out. And we were like, all right, this is a sample. Like, we probably can't use this. We hit up Mike. I was like, all right, what's the sample, dude? Like, I was like, who'd you like?
So you thought it was a sample.
You thought
it was from Dance, Dance, Dance by Chic.
Because Mike does a lot of sam. I mean, we are similar in the way that we do a lot of sampling. And I was like, oh, this has got to be a sample because the riff was too perfect, and we were like, this is too crazy. And then we found out, and we had actually written some other weird thing to it, and then we ended up going to LA, and they had some melodies, and then we kind of crafted some of the words. At least we came up with like the hook kind of together. The concept of classic was put together, all of us in the room. Yeah, and then
makes. But back to the riff, classic is exactly what the riff is. So.
That's why it's funny, because when I heard it, we all thought it was a sample, which means we thought it was like we were like, oh, this has to be like a David Bowie song or something.
Classic.
It feels so classic.
That's how it happened, because it feels friggin' classic. Yeah. It's got that disco vibe. You move to it, you can't help it.
Right. How did it turn into the Don't Be Shy and the, you know, all of that?
That was just like a freestyle thing that she sang over it, and it just was awesome.
Well, I mean, it kind of reminded me of like a... being messed up trying to get somebody to come hang out with you and be like, hey baby, what you doing? It's right. Just like, I don't know.
Chris has this very amazing ability to tap into these common phrases that are like, there's a subtle genius.
So when she met you, she just said, hey Mike, don't be shy.
Totally, exactly.
Mike, don't be shy.
Don't be shy, baby.
Don't be shy, Mike.
And I had my guitar and it was all, yeah, it was very serendipitous. No, I mean, it was you were just freestyling on the mic, and like I said, when they came in, yeah, yep. And when they came to LA,
capturing that.
That's how Groove in the Heart happened. I really do. If you go any deeper than this, you're already in trouble.
I think that's what disco's about, man. I think it feels good and it's fun and it's not too serious, it's not too dense but it does make sense, and it's like it's also on this song. I think nostalgia is a huge part of it. I think it's like. That piano riff when it hits, it's like, you know, we want kids to think, yeah, they're gonna make this is the song I had and when I was graduating high school that summer of 2014.
So where was that exact, I'm gonna do the Casey Kasem from top 40. So where was that exact moment that you knew you had a hit?
I think when they, cause this, when, like we said, we really only came up with the hook with them and like the piano riff and the kind of structure of the song in the studio, because we only had one night. So then we were going back and forth like crazy. I think there were like 15 versions of this for literally months going back.
You really bounced tracks for 4 months back and forth.
Yeah, but the second that I thought it was a hit is when they sent it back and they added a melody, which was, it was four, and then they added the as it feels. When you added that is when I was like, yeah, because you didn't have that. When we were in the studio, we didn't have that part. It just dropped, and then we were like, it's there. There's something there, but it's not there yet. And then they're like, we added this one little thing. And when I heard that, it was like, to me, that was it.
You're going to surprise people with this first full-length, aren't you? Because it's not going to be what people expect it's going to be, is it?
No, it's definitely not. I mean, we've been doing some of the songs live now, so maybe. But no, it's definitely more song-oriented. I think a lot of people still don't
get that we're not just DJs, you know what I mean? And we're not just remixers. They're actually like our songwriters. So that'll take the dance community probably by surprise. Yeah, it's definitely different. It's just like a new take on funk and disco, I think. We like to call it future disco. So like songs like Comfortable, which are just like that groove, but not like a live bass groove. It's like a synth bass, but like still that kind of a groove, you know? So stuff like that.
And disco.
It's like new disco.
EDM, electronic dance music. How do we get people to eliminate that whole genre and let people know that just because you're using samples, just because you're using computers, just because you're using guest vocalists, that does not put you in a genre? Any thoughts? I've been asking this of a lot of people these days because I want to blow it up permanently. I don't think, and the proof.
I think it's a really bad thing. I think EDM as a genre is a silly thing to do, just as silly as it is for these micro genres that are like post, trap, house, deep tech. It's like too much. When the suits at the big labels needed something to label it and something that they could put on the McDonald's sign was the word hip-hop, and you could hip-hop clothes and hip-hop this. Now there's EDM this and EDM that, and I think it's just a way to just kind of like throw everything together, and it's marketable. Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's the songs, you know? And even in the EDM world, the ones that really break through aren't just like those banger things that are gonna make the kids on drugs at the festivals go nuts. It's the ones that have songs. The Swedish House Mafia song, Swedish Don't You Worry Child, whatever, think what you will, it's a well-written song. And you could break that song down to a guitar and it's gonna be a good song. You can't break down some dubstep instrumental song into a guitar. It just, you know, you can't. So those songs don't last. So the ones that are songs are the ones that are gonna last.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.